Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Welcome, my friends, to the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek, along with...
Not so brutal, George.
I thought it was George, motherfucking Trips.
Well, on a good day.
You can be brutal, man. I've heard your music selection sometimes.
Sometimes.
Don't sell yourself so short.
That's why it's not so brutal. That's why it's there. It's,
okay. You're more brutal than me because you watch more horror movies. How about that?
There you go. Video. I'm a movie junkie George, is what we'll call it.
Hey, that's not bad. Movie junkie George.
It makes me sound like an addict or something.
Yeah, it's like, you are an addict. What are you talking about?
That's true.
You only go to Alamo Draft House. That makes you an addict.
I don't only go there, but it is a theater I frequent.
Oh, let me ask you this. Before we start getting into everything, I heard the rumor that Alamo Draft House was up for sale. What do you feel about
that? I mean, this is not the first time they were up for sale. So it is what it is.
What do you think is going to happen if like some company that comes in and is going to cut all the fat? There's only one location in Houston, number one, too.
Yeah, so it's not a lot of fat there to begin with. I don't know. To be honest with you, I guess we'd have to see how much of it is true and what shakes out. Like, Alamo is special because of the culture it's created. Yeah. Not necessarily of the movies that they play there, but how they present the movies and the environment they let the movies exist in.
And, I think it's somewhat the selection of maybe because they don't play just current stuff. They go back and they do specialty and all kinds of like special events.
They'll do proprietary screenings, but that's not special anymore. Like other movie theaters do that too. But what they do versus what other movie theaters do is how those old movies are presented. Like they'll get presented with as a movie party or as a sing-along, or they'll have a guest from the movie to talk about it. You don't really get a lot of that at like AMC or Cinemark.
No, they have that. I can't remember the name of that thing that they always advertise. You can watch this anime or this opera or something. It's the 25th anniversary.
Fathom event stuff.
Phasm, there you go.
And Phasm is pretty cool, though.
If you have the AMC pass, the Phasm events don't count.
Oh.
So you have to pay extra for them. So I never go. I don't really go to the movie that much anymore. Truthfully,
What, because you're busy? Because it's crunch time to Comicpalooza?
Very true. We're going to... You'll realize how little I've watched and played in this past few months. But it's okay.
It's telling
how little I've gone to the gym
when you've only played one game. It's telling how
I know it's true. But let's talk about Comicpalooza. We are part of the podcast program again, which is super cool. We have to come up with a topic to do live on the show floor, the show far.
I was thinking maybe this topic, if we do the topic I was talking about tonight, if we don't do that, we can present that at the show.
Maybe we'll do something more interactive, I think, is always fun, like we did with trivia last time. We'll figure it out. We got to do it soon, though. But have you looked at the guest list so far? Anybody you're excited to see?
There was some people like Chip Zdarsky. There was this other writer there.
Chip Zdarsky, yeah.
There's another writer there. I can't remember his name right now.
Clay McLeod Chapman.
Yeah, that's the guy. Are you talking about that guy, because he wrote a Halloween movie last year called Wendell and Wendell, I think it was called.
Oh, did he? I know he's a literature guy, he's a comic book guy, he's a movie guy, so
yeah,
that's cool.
And you know,
he did a bunch of Venom verse and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, I don't really know Stan Sakai. Who?
Stan Sakai, the creator of Usagi Yojimbo.
Oh, you know, I know of him, but I've never read any of those comics.
You never read, like, because the character sort of got brought into the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle universe.
It wasn't originally part of that universe, no. But yeah.
I met him a long time ago. I'm talking late 90s at like one of those old comic book conventions that would have like in the Hilton or something.
Sure, him yeah.
And Mark Evanier were there. And Mark Evanier, you know, they all worked on Gru together, which was cool. I'm going to try to find one of my old Gru comics and maybe get Stan Sakai to autograph that because he was the letterer for all those back in the day. He's got to try to find him. That's probably not going to be an easy feat. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But, and then Martha Wells, who wrote the Murderbot Diaries, is pretty cool. I like that book.
She does some Star Wars books too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like the new era?
There's one or two I think she's done. What about
I don't know too many of what she's done besides the Murderbot stuff.
What are the Murderbot Diaries? Is that good?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's like a film, well, it's like a noir story but with a robot.
Oh. The description in the title, I guess.
Yeah.
That's sort of cool. As far as some of the big celebrities, you know, they've announced John Cena. Who's going to be there on Sunday? I mean,
I heard he was going to be invisible, so you won't see him.
He will not be invisible. That joke has been used so many fucking times recently. actually, I was listening to John Cena on the Armchair Expert Dax Shepard podcast today.
Yeah.
He's actually very interesting.
He's a cool dude. I mean, he seems like a nice guy.
It's somebody I would want to hang out with, sounds like, you know, he seems cool.
We should get him a guest on our episode is what we should do.
We'll get him as a guest, but like you said, he'll be invisible, so you won't be able to hear it.
No, you should be able to hear him, not see him. That's how invisibility works. So we should get him on the podcast on the day of the show when we record. That's what we should do.
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't even have that kind of clout.
Come on.
The little girl
who plays
Princess Leia in the Obi-Wan series is going to be there.
Should I go ask her why she was so bad at the show?
No.
I can't ask her, like, hey, little girl, your parents couldn't afford acting classes?
Damn, dude.
I'm just joking. Joking.
Wow.
I'm just messing around. Calm down, people. Stop typing up your hate email. I'm just joking.
It's at George Tripsis.
Don't add at me, bro. I mean, Obi-Wan was a bad show, though. So,
Robert Englund is going to be there again. Freddy Krueger.
This is not the first time he's been there, right? He's been there before.
No, he was there 2017, I think, is when last time he was there, I met him.
Was Wes Craven ever a guest?
No.
Oh man, that would have been cool, huh? Yeah. Before he passed away.
So cast members from like The Office are going to be there. Charmed. Shannen Doherty is going to be there. I might get something Mallrat signed by her.
He should.
Yeah,
she was in that.
This voice actor her name is Kimiko Glenn. Part of the anime lineup, but she has like a wide variety of characters. She was in the Spider-Man, Spider-Verse movies. She was the
Asian girl.
The one's a robot. Can't think of her name now. She was in Orange is the New Black.
The Asian girl Spider-Man.
She's the voice in a Disney Plus cartoon called Kif. She's the voice of the Baby Shark in Baby Shark's Big Show.
Wow.
She's also in BoJack Horseman. So, Baby Shark and BoJack Horseman, two totally different types of animation there.
She's hitting a smattering board of voice acting there.
Yes. And some anime people, I'm not a huge anime fan, but Napoleon Dynamite people are going to be there.
Isn't it like an anniversary of that?
It's the 20th anniversary, yeah.
Yeah.
I watched that movie for the first time last month because I had never seen it before.
Well, welcome to
the
party. Ask
me what I thought about it.
Well, it's one. It's a definitely a movie of its product of its time when it came out, because I don't think there was anything like it. Two, I think it's funnier on repeat viewings. I don't think it's a good, like, solid winner on the first time, especially when you don't know much about it.
It was weird. I knew a lot of the scenes and a lot of some of the jokes, but I had never really seen it.
Because of the zeitgeist and popularity of it all. Yeah.
I mean, I like comedy movies, but it was not my favorite. I'll just say that.
That makes sense. It's because you didn't have a group of people who liked the movie with you to watch it.
Maybe. That's true. Because it came out, what, 94? Like early 2000s. 2004, that's right.
Yeah, like 2005, 2006, I think.
Okay.
It came out when I was in college. 20th,
it'd have been 2004 if it's the 20th anniversary now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Math, it's hard sometimes, I know.
Math is hard. I mean, I didn't know it was the 20th anniversary. I forgot.
Yeah, I think it is. But I'm looking forward to some other stuff that's coming up at the show. I'm looking forward to our panel. Still gonna always have a good time. We're going to have a lot of cool podcast stuff. One of the show that's coming in is a show that I listen to called Skywalking Through Neverland. They're a Disney podcast that also covers Star Wars, of course, and Indiana Jones, and they cover the monkeys, they cover Weird Al. It's like everything that I'm into, they cover. It's weird.
It sounds like they're copying us. That's what it sounds like.
No, they just reached into my mind and pulled out everything that I love.
No, they're copying pretty us. Much. I'm calling it now. But they're not going to have John Cena on the show like we are, so represent.
I cannot make that promise. That's not going to happen.
You heard it here, here first.
No, you did not hear it here at all.
John Cena, Comic Palooza, on our show, on our panel, be there, be square.
Nope. So, have you seen any concerts recently? Have you gone to any concerts?
No, I'm not cool.
Well, that's true, but still had to ask anyways.
No. But I'll be cooler when John Cena shows up at our booth.
Okay. I'll make sure that's gonna happen.
You should.
Just for you.
You should.
You won't be able to see him. He'll be there, but you won't be able to see him.
You made that joke already. We moved on.
You made that joke. I didn't make the joke. So I want to talk about Hell's Heroes, which just a couple weeks ago. We covered it in depth on the last MSR cast because our good friend Mike Lawrence was in town for it. It was a good time hanging out with him. I went Thursday evening and then Friday all day. Thursday night was the day I really wanted to be there. Candlemass was a headliner.
That's cool.
Autopsy played. And I got to see some of Doro Pesh, which was fun. Everybody had to leave at some point because there was bad weather coming in. So they made everybody leave the outside area and go over to the Raven Tower next door, which is just a metal building, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, okay. But Friday, we spent the whole fucking day at the show.
Stand in this big conductor for lightning, please.
Pretty much. Friday was the day. Kim, my wife, the voice from the other room, came. We had a great time. We saw so many great bands that I've been wanting to see. Like Watchtower did a reunion. Solitude Eternus did a reunion, which was fucking amazing. And Queensryche did an old school set. From the very first EP and then like the first album, they play them in its entirety. Great show. But I do want to say something. One of the things, this is a sad part of the show. I'm sorry. One of the things that we had been working on in the background, we're still working on it, is a project I was working. And one of the guys, Aaron Mendiola, I've known him for over 25 years from the metal scene, from San Antonio. He used to be in a band called Putrelage and a bunch of different stuff. Great, great guy. He had his own podcast called Bare Metal Podcast. And he did some design work for me recently. We were talking about this project at Hell's Heroes that we were going to be working on. And I told him after, you know, some of my busy time was over, where we're going to get together and bang some details out. And a week later, he had passed away.
Oh, shit. So, what did he die from?
Yeah. I think it was heart issues. He was a couple years younger than me, so it was very shocking, very sad to hear. So in his honor, I want to dedicate this show right here to Aaron Mendiola, the Gore Growler. He used to do a metal festival in San Antonio called the Gore Growler Ball. And when I was first learning how to do video design and shit like that, I used to do some work for him and, you know, hanging out with him and do stuff. But, yeah, it's really sad, man. He was well-loved in the community all around Texas. Everybody knew him. It's just a sad, sad loss. And it's just so weird that I was just, within a week after talking to him, he was gone. You know what I mean? We had these really cool plans. And we're going to continue on with those plans. I've talked to the other people involved, and we're not going to stop because he passed away. We're going to do it in his honor. So,
sure, yeah.
It's sad, man. You never know what's going to happen.
It sucks. And, my condolences, man.
Thank you. I think you guys would have got along, too. He's a good guy. He always talked about, joked about getting me on his podcast. I'm like, I don't drink beer, bro. He's like, we'll do the metal whiskey podcast. I'm like, all right, that I can do. But never got to do it. So make sure you get to do what you want in life, because you never know. And I guess we can pick it up. That was a sad moment. I'm sorry.
Hey, man, you know, he's going to be sorry about that.
Is there any concerts coming up that you're looking forward to this year?
I mean, I was, until I saw the prices for it, and then I was like, fuck that.
Which one?
The Black Keys announced that they're coming to Houston, and I was very excited. Oh, yeah? I've always wanted to see them live, but I didn't realize that they only do stadium tours now. And
wow, are they that big?
I mean, this is their 12th album, so it makes sense.
I guess they could save money if they play the White and Black Keys, though.
So anyway, like, tickets start at $60, but that's like nosebleeds, and like, might as well just watch them, like, on
Toyota
TV.
Toyota Center or something?
Yeah, they're playing Toyota Center. And
one of the bands that I really always wanted to see in my life, which was one of my dad's favorite bands, is ELO, Electric Light Orchestra. And they're playing.
I was thinking about going to that show, actually.
Me too. That's actually on my birthday, dude, at the Toyota Center.
Really?
That's my actual 50th birthday is that day, and friends of mine bought tickets really low, and they're like, yeah, I was like, I'm not spending that much on tickets, but I would like to go. One of the concerts they announced today, the tour, Deep Purple and Yes are touring together, which are, you know, not the same really style, but close.
They're both like stoner rock.
No, prog rock.
Yes, that's
not
what stoner
rock at all.
It's what stoner rock is. Prog rock's all the same.
No, totally different. But they're playing like outside, you know, like woodland type festival shows, and I don't know. There's something about the middle of August at the Woodlands that does not seem so great right now.
It does not sound like a good time.
If they maybe have like cheap lawn tickets, maybe like $25 or something like that. There's another show in September at the Woodlands that is very tempting. I missed Ministry last week. I was too busy working on stuff, but they're coming. It's Filter, Ministry, Alice Cooper, and Rob Zombie are coming together. Mm-hmm. And there's like $25 lawn tickets for that show. Could be interesting. I've seen Rob Zombie before. He always puts on a good show. Alice Cooper is great.
It's a weird pairing.
Not really. They're both shock rock people. I mean, it totally works.
Does it, though?
I think I think Deep Purple and Yes is more of a weird pairing, but that's okay.
See, that makes more sense to me than Rob Zombie and Alice Cooper.
Yeah, but they're both like shock rock artists. It totally works. What about Ministry and Filter? That's a weird opening. That's super weird. I love the new fucking Ministry album. It's so good. But the other couple shows coming up in May, like May 8th here in Houston, Firewind is doing a headline show, and with Edge of Paradise, who is like a symphonic metal band, and then Immortal Guardian. Now, I've always heard Immortal Guardian are bonkers to see live. The main guitar player he's like this weird guitar doodler guy, but he also does it on the keyboards at the same time. You have to look up a YouTube video of him. He's fucking crazy. But tickets for that show are like $15, little man. I want to put that shit in my hand.
Doobie Brothers is coming to town June 30th.
That's okay.
No? You're not a Doobie Brothers fan?
I mean, I can deal with the Doobie Brothers, but I'm not going to go see them live.
No. Oh, but Def Leppard's. Def Leppard's coming. You definitely want to see them.
Nope. Not going to Def Leppard.
It's your favorite, that's for man. Sure. Everybody it's who listens not. To the show knows it's your favorite. Live is coming. I'd go see Live in August.
You know, I've seen Live for like one song.
I've never seen them live, but I do like their music quite a bit.
And
I bet Dave would want to go to this show.
Are they playing with Counting Crows?
No, but he's mentioned before that he's a live fan.
I liked him. I a long time ago, I was in California, and I think it was Jay Leno. That's how long ago it was, Tonight Show, and they were the band that performed. So I got to see like one song live. Mr. Bungle is coming, and I'm definitely not going to miss that show. That's like beginning of May as well.
Leprous is coming in October. I kind of want to go to Houston. Yeah.
Wait, what? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it says it right here. Wide Oak Music Hall, October 2nd, 6:00.
Really?
Yeah. With
I didn't know that.
With Monuments and Fight the Fight. I've never heard of those other two bands, but I've heard of Monuments. I've heard of Monuments. I actually have liked one of their songs, I think. But I've never heard
of Fight. This is the first time hearing about them. I will go see Leprous for sure. That's cool.
Isn't it like also on Dave's like wish list?
Yeah.
I think so. I think we should all go together.
Yeah, we should. We saw Sewing last year, which was amazing.
I wanted to go, but I couldn't because of work.
Yeah. Also, April 22nd, we might go to this because this is one of my wife's favorite bands. It's the Battle Ballads Tour, which is a bunch of bands I don't know, really. The Dead Crew of Oddwood, Etherrealm, Trollfest, but the headliner is Tear. We fucking love Tear. New album's coming out like right now, too.
I heard their new song. It's okay.
You didn't like it?
It's fine.
But
it has catchy moments, but it never really it never takes off.
I'll agree. It's not as good as like some of the previous stuff. It's not as catchy. I'll just put it that way. But I'm debating. I've missed Insomnium the past two times they've toured because they canceled Houston like twice because of pandemic and all that. And the last time they played in Austin with Enslaved, and I couldn't go because of work. But now they're playing with an Omnium Gatherum in Austin as well, like May 3rd, which is a Friday night. So I could possibly make it work. You up for an Austin concert?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although right. I think we should get the show going because I don't think people want to hear us talk about our concert plans.
I think they do, actually.
Unless they're going to go with us.
They can all come with us if they want. That's totally fine.
What we should do is record segments of us at the show.
Yeah.
Like
we did on the People Mover.
Like a pre and post thing. Like, hey, we're about to go see the show. Like, oh man, that show was awesome. Or it fucking sucked, one or the other.
Well, I mean, there is a middle ground too.
No, there is no middle ground. It's either it was fucking awesome and you blew my socks off, or it sucked and you threw a wet blanket on me.
All right. So what have you been watching?
I've been watching a few things. Let me look at my cheat sheet here and I'll tell you. I think since last time we talked, I have finally seen Dune 2 in IMAX.
Me too.
I saw it
in IMAX as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you feel it was great?
As boring as me?
No, I thought it was amazing.
Okay. So
definitely the best movie of the year so far.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
So it was great. I loved it. Go see it.
I mean, I did not reverse that. I didn't not like it. I just thought there was a more slow part than there needed to be comparatively, because the first one was like really slow.
I disagree.
I was like, oh,
I could have sat through another 2 hours of that in the movie theater. Really? I was like, yeah,
you
I
will,
was like,
when they do Dune 3.
Well, I mean, if it, you know, ever comes out in the next two, three years.
They totally left it open to it, you know?
Well, I mean, the movie ends exactly how the book ends, so.
Right, because, like, they're just going to do a Game of Thrones and just start our writing movies where there's no book.
Oh, no, there's, like.
Type of deal.
There's, like, eight books, so I find that hard to believe.
Is there?
Yeah, but Denis Villeneuve's involvement is going to end on this next one.
Then it's over, then.
Yeah, I guess so. Unless, you know, producers want that sweet, sweet money.
That's true. They probably do.
Yeah.
What about Ghostbusters Frozen Empire?
Did you watch that?
I did see it.
You should go first. You should tell the people, what did you think of Ghostbusters Frozen Empire?
Okay. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Couple things about it. It wasn't enough ghost busting in it, but
it opens with ghost busting.
It does. The movie itself, good or bad, was a punch to my nostalgia. There was so much stuff that reminded me of the original movies more than the previous one. My favorite shot in that whole movie is when Dan Aykroyd is in the library and he sees the original ghost from the very first movie that they never caught. The librarian ghost. I was like, oh, that's a great callback. It was a little heavy-handed with that kind of stuff, but I actually sort of liked it for that reason. The bad guy, the villain, was a little pretty metal. Just the way he looked and everything about him.
The whole 5 minutes he was on screen, yeah.
Yes, it was a little CGI-ish for me, but podcast grew up. I was like, oh, is that kid podcast? Oh, holy shit. Yeah. How long did they wait before movies to film this?
It was cool. Well, they filmed it, like, what, 2 years ago, so.
Yeah. I'm afraid to hear your opinion now.
Why? Why is that?
I'm always nervous.
You should never be afraid of my opinion, Gary. They're just opinions. They can't hurt anybody.
Your opinions hurt me. What was it, your name that we came up with in the beginning?
It was Movie Junkie.
Movie Junkie. Yeah. All right, Movie Junkie. What did you think of Ghostbusters?
So it's tough, right? I'm a huge Ghostbusters fan. Like, I remember buying the cereal, watching the cartoon show, dressing up as Ghostbusters
You have the tattoo.
I don't have the tattoo.
You're not a true fan then.
I don't have any tattoos, so I just have that. I love Ghostbusters almost as much as I love Ninja Turtles, and that's pretty high praise coming from me. With that being said, it's very obvious if you know me, I didn't love Afterlife. I didn't think it was the right call for this, for that movie, for Ghostbusters in general. And what I really do wish that this movie, Frozen Empire and Afterlife, was mushed together into one movie, because that way it would have been a little bit more interesting. Because there's parts of Afterlife that I thought was genius, and there's parts of Frozen Empire that I think is fucking fantastic. There's just so many cool little small details in Frozen Empire that I thought, like, oh, that's cool, and then nothing happens.
Yeah.
I thought the bad guy is the coolest villain they've had since Gozer.
Good joke there. Because he froze everything. He was the coolest.
Yeah, he was the coolest. Get it? Ba-dum-bum. I loved Kumail Nanjiani. I think he stole the show. But I hated his character. Like, I don't think he needed to be a fire master or whatever. I thought that was
a fire starter.
Yeah, so as many things as they were for me to enjoy in Frozen Empire, there was just as many things for me to not enjoy, which is a big, huge bummer.
I get that. I totally get that. But let me ask you this. When you walked out of the theater, did you go, wow, I had fun. That was good. I had a good time.
I kind of had fun. Like, I had fun at times. I didn't have fun all the time. Like, I was so ready to have fun, and then before I was able to have fun, the fun was over. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
But they brought Slimer back, dude. Come on. And the Ecto Cooler.
Dude, Slimer's never looked better. I think Slimer was so fucking cool looking. He looked better.
Vickman had secret whiskey in the building for how many years?
Don't get me started on the original Ghostbusters. The reason why I had a hard time enjoying this movie is because of how much they chain themselves to the past. And I think the movie, it's doing a detriment for any future installments for Ghostbusters. Like, what they really need to do is let go of Vinkman, let go of Egon, let go of the stupid nuke.
Yeah, let go.
Well, but they have the stupid new characters that don't really belong there, like the girlfriend podcast, even Finn Wolfhard, like all those characters had nothing to do throughout the whole movie. And the movie was so packed with small little storylines that it left no room for the actual storyline to take place. So it's just so by the time when Act 3 arrived, it just kind of arrived and didn't build and it didn't do anything. But this is, you know, we're talking about a silly ghost movie and we're trying to give it some reverence, and it's, and I don't know, maybe I'm being too hard about it, but I think it's just okay. It's a lot of fun to be had. I think it relies too much on nostalgia at times, and because of that, it gets in the way of it gets away of itself in telling a good story that I think was in there. I think it was underbaked and underserved, and it's more of a disappointment because it could have been better. But I enjoyed it more than Afterlife.
I honestly agree with almost everything you just said there.
There you go.
I walked out of the. I mean, I did walk out of the theater. I'm like, oh, I had a good time. I liked a lot of the callbacks and the fun little moments, but. A lot of that stuff.
Why was that there? Like, why was Patton Oswalt in that movie? I liked him in it. I thought he was funny, but that role should have been Ray, right? That should have been Ray's character. Making those discoveries. You know, that would have made a lot Ray more owning, sense.
I like Ray owning the occult bookstore, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So let him be the info dump guy. Let him be the so he does not running around. I mean, at the end of the movie, there's like 10 Ghostbusters. It didn't feel right.
But they had the old school commercial inside of it. They did the song. They had everything.
Bustin' makes you feel good. Yeah.
Bustin' did make me feel good.
They only kind of busted some ghosts, I guess.
Yeah, because it's weird. All those ghosts escaped the ghost containment chamber, but they never went after them. They somehow miraculously just came back on their own accord. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. They didn't even care to give you time. to think about
What was the villain's name? Do you remember?
No.
There you go. There you go. That was the question.
Horny was his name.
tall, dark, and horny.
Tall, dark, and horny. See,
that was one of the best jokes in the movie, and they put it in the fucking trailer.
I mean,
come on.
Peter Venkman is wearing sunglasses for whatever weird reason. Like,
because I guess
he wanted to. Anyway, yeah. I don't know.
It's Bill Murray's going to do whatever the fuck Bill Murray's going to do. That's all.
You want to go see some Ghostbusters, zap some, you know, pull off their plasma packs or whatever and shoot some shit. There you go. Some big, bright, flashy noises for 2 hours.
You know a movie I watched on TV the other night? I'm going to turn off my brain for a couple hours and watch a movie. Yeah. I watched Expendables 4.
Oh, have you seen Expendables 1, 2, and 3?
Maybe, yes. Long time ago. I don't remember them, though. Okay. I know Stallone was in them, and then I know Schwarzenegger was in them at one point, and that's about all I remember.
Bruce Willis was in it one, and Chuck Norris.
No, oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Dolph Lundgren.
He was in this one, too.
Yeah? He needs a paycheck. Was Terry Crews in it, too?
No. No Terry Crews.
No, that's Jason Statham. That's why the movie was not good.
Jason Statham was all over this fucking movie. I don't care. I am a huge Jason Statham fan. He's the only reason
I watched Meg 1 and Meg 2, so.
yeah. Meg 1, fun movie. Meg 2,
It's fine.
Okay. It's fine. It's serviceable. This is what I felt about Expendables 4. The plot was meh. The action was fun. Everything about it was just, you know, it's pretty to look at, turn your brain off, and watch people shoot at each other for a couple hours.
What's Stallone's like, what, 80? Come on, give him a break.
I don't know. You know who one of the main characters was? Megan Fox. Stallone.
Megan Fox?
Yes.
Weird.
I was like, why is she? Yeah.
She's neither old nor expendable.
She's expendable. Stallone is 77, by the way.
77. See, he's almost 80.
Yeah.
That was close.
Yeah. Pretty predictable plot, but, you know, fun nonetheless, you know. What else have we been watching? We watched WrestleMania the other night. Well, parts of it, at least.
I saw WrestleMania.
Was The Rock there? The Rock was there. He did wrestle a little bit. John Cena was there. He did wrestle a little bit.
He wasn't invisible.
He was not invisible.
Don't worry, folks. He will be invisible at our booth because he would be there.
Well, number one, we don't have a booth.
Carrie promised me we'll have a booth in a recording session with John Cena, so it's going to be there. It's going to happen. Buy your tickets now.
But speaking of John Cena, have you watched Ricky Stenicki?
Yes, I have seen Ricky Stenicki.
That movie is fucking funny. I don't care who you are. That movie is funny.
As a whole, the movie's not funny, but there are some very funny moments in it. The part where they show clips of him doing his singing act. I died laughing at that part. But the rest of the movie is kind of like, okay.
Best part of that movie.
Microwave dog shit, basically what I like to call that movie. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever done that?
Microwave dog shit? Yeah, it explodes and goes all over your microwave.
Is it really?
I don't know.
I've never tried.
I've never tried it either. I'm just guessing.
You acted like you knew, so I was wondering.
Hey, man.
I thought the movie was funny. But we also started watching back to Resident Alien, the series. We're back on season 2.
With Mr. Alan Tudyk.
Alan Tudyk, that show, I love his character in that show. I love Nathan Fillion's character. Spoilers.
Oh, but, Nathan's Fillion's in that show? That's cool.
Sort of.
I tried watching it. It's like, I think I got 4 episodes in season 1, and I was like, yeah, I'm done. I get it.
I liked the comic book before the movie, so the comic is pretty great.
I didn't realize it was based on a comic book.
The Dark Horse comic, yeah.
Okay.
But Season 3, I believe, is already out, which was, I think it was only, like, due to the writer's strike and all that, it was only, like, 8 episodes. But they're working on a Season 4 already, so I don't know. I'm not caught up, so I will be sometime, but not yet. What about this? There's a movie or a TV series on Disney called X-Men 97.
X-Men 97. Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
It is fucking great.
I don't ever remember X-Men actually being that good. It's never been this good. Let me be fair, because if you try rewatching the original series,
yeah,
it's a lot of fodder and a lot of bad episodes you have to, like, you know, filter through. But X-Men 97, it's like, I haven't seen the latest episode. I think I'm only 4 episodes in, but each episode has been pretty bangers.
I think we're recording, it'll come out, the new episode will be out tomorrow, so.
Oh, gotcha.
It comes out on Wednesday. The Mojo episode was fucking fantastic. I was like,
it was better than I thought it would be. I don't really like Mojo.
I always love that. I love that character. I thought it was great that they're like, are you on Ozempic or something? Why did you lose all the weight? And apparently he doesn't get fat until he starts soaking up all the love and the ratings and all that shit that he gets.
I thought he was soaking up their life's force through the game as they were winning.
Probably that's something like that.
Well, but anyway, Mojo was like my least favorite. My least favorite character as a kid, but the video game was cool because it was like direct copies from the arcade.
It was like the arcade game. It was great.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
Even the Magneto fight scene was like exactly how it was in the arcade game.
Also, I don't remember Magneto looking like so Fabio. When did that happen?
Yeah. It's based on definitely like the, like a 90s, 2000s era. He definitely had the long flowing hair.
Yeah. And they're definitely going with the storyline with him and Ro being having marital relations.
I guess. I mean, they went straight into the whole fucking Goblin Queen, like, in the second episode. I'm like, oh, okay. We're already there?
Yeah, great. No shit. They're, like, sneak detected in there.
You know who that little baby was, right?
No.
Cable. That's Nathan Summers. Yeah. They sent him off to the future with Bishop, and he grows up. Straight out of the comics. It's pretty... Big love letter if you're an X-Men fanboy. It's pretty cool. I wonder what else they're going to do on the season.
I liked X-Men, the TV show. I didn't read a lot of the comics, but it was because of the TV show that got me into comic books.
You should get a subscription to Marvel Unlimited and read some of the old X-Men stuff from like the 90s and stuff, late 80s, 90s. Good shit there, man.
I know the Chris Claremont stuff was pretty good.
Yeah. A lot of this stuff was like, even, you know, the whole plot line was, they talked about Agent, was it the Planet M or whatever, Magneto's Planet and stuff. Now he's a good guy running the X-Men. That's true. Oh, my favorite part was in Forge's home or whatever, they kept on showing that picture of X-Force was like Strong Guy and Wolfsbane and all that. I'm like, that was my fucking era of that series. I loved it. That was great. That was like pulling at my nostalgia like super hard right there. I'm like, I just want an episode with those characters and nobody else. I'd be good. You think like Deadpool will show up in this series?
No.
Why not?
I don't think they're crossing over like that.
I mean, I saw it. Wasn't there an episode of the original series that had Deadpool in it?
If there was, it was not like to the point where it was not to the Deadpool we know him today.
I'm going to look that up because I felt like there was. I mean, it would have been early in the Deadpool X-Men cartoon. Let's see. Was Deadpool first cameo of Deadpool? He is seen as one of the faces inside Sabretooth's mind. So yeah, wasn't like fully like what Deadpool is today, but A character only came out in the 90s, so like late.
I didn't 90s? Realize Chris Claremont wrote the storyline about Cable.
Yeah.
That's cool. He
wrote a lot of good stuff back in the day.
Yeah, I like his other stuff too, like his Superman stuff.
I never read his Superman stuff. That's weird that Chris Claremont's writing for DC. I don't like that. It's like Bendis, just like Bendis writing for DC. I'm like, nope. That's weird.
I think he wrote something for Superman. I could be wrong. Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
I did go to the library over the weekend. I had to renew my library card, and I finally checked out these. Let me grab one real quick. The X-Men Grand Design. You ever read these?
No.
There's like, I don't know how many volumes there are, but this is by a guy, his name is Ed Piskor. And they're in the, they look like old school, like graphic novels and stuff like that. They're big Marvel Treasury size. They're huge. But I haven't read them. And Ed Piskor, unfortunately, took his life last week.
I'm shit.
So yeah.
Carrie, can you stop bringing down the podcast, man?
I'm sorry. It's not me. It's the rest of the world, man. I didn't do it. I will say something that will bring up the podcast. There's a YouTube series that I've watched the first episode. It's called We Call It Imagineering. Pretty great. The first episode is all about animatronics, and they show these fucking cute little adorable BD droids from like the Jedi Fallen Order video games. They're walking around Disneyland now, man, for
new
seasons of the Force thing that's going on right now. I want one of those. I want to build one of those at Droid Depot.
I mean, give it some time, you probably will.
Yes.
What is Season of the Force? Do you know what that is?
I do.
What is it?
It's a limited time like event. They've had it at Disneyland before. They do special food. They do special events. There's like a nighttime fireworks show. One of the YouTubers that I watch they're called Ordinary Adventures. And they just put an episode out about their Seasons of the Force experience. So you can check that out. Learn more. A lot of it's specialty food and the BD droids, and like Sabine is walking around Galaxy's Edge now. Different things.
So nothing special.
I mean, not really. It used to be bigger, you know. I know they have a whole area of the park that's Star Wars, so they don't really need to. I remember even Hollywood Studios used to do like Star Wars Weekend, which were amazing. Because it wasn't just like special events and stuff like that, but they would bring celebrities for meet and greets. They would do, I remember going to a Q&A with Anthony Daniels at Hollywood Studios, and he was there. That's really cool.
That's cool. Yeah, that's awesome.
A lot of cool special events. And there was, you know, a lot of people in costumes and different that you would never ever see anywhere. Like they had Donald Duck dressed up as Boba Fett standing next to like the Carbonite thing.
Cool.
It was great. I wish they would bring that kind of stuff back, but
and it but wasn't that means even a, it, would, it wasn't they would even have like to, a. Go ahead.
Go ahead. What were you gonna say?
I said that means Disney would have to care and not want to make money.
We're on the same page, Jared, because it used to not even be like a special ticketed event. You just go to the park during that weekend and stuff was going on. I remember this is when I went with my uncle a long time ago, and I remember one of the guests was the young kid who played the young Boba Fett. I can't think of his name now, but yeah,
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I have his autograph here somewhere. I don't remember who. Can't remember his name now. I feel bad, but sorry, dude. You'll grow up to play. You won't grow up to play Boba Fett or anything else.
No, just use that
more
one time.
More isn't for that. Just that one time. Yeah. They're going to use Django for all your future stuff. That's okay. But yeah, check out that series. I'm hoping. I don't know when the new one's coming out, but it's surprising that it's not on Disney Plus and it's on YouTube. but it's a short little, you know, 15-minute special. But they show a lot of animatronics from the upcoming Tiana's Bayou Adventure. Say that five times fast. It's hard.
Tiana's Bayou Adventure. Tiana's Bayou Adventure. Tiana's Bayou Adventure.
Oh, see? You already lost it on the third one.
I did.
Which is basically what's taking over Splash Mountain.
I've never rode Splash Mountain when I had the chance. What? I never got a chance to ride Splash Mountain. No.
What happened? You did go on where we went?
No, I did not.
Interesting.
I didn't want to get wet, so I didn't get on it.
Oh. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. You don't get super wet on the ride, but you do a little bit.
You get wet, but not really.
But not really. It's not like some of the other attractions where, like, at Universal, like the Popeye bilge barges or whatever it is. You come off that like you just took a shower.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Do you remember what was it? Tidal Wave in Houston, Texas at Asher World?
Oh yeah.
I used to get soaked on that ride.
Oh yeah, I remember when I was a kid. I wore jeans to the park, like jeans. I don't know if they were shorts or whatever, but I remember riding that ride a few times and not good.
Yeah, not a good choice.
Like, not a good choice. I remember one time on that ride. I did love that ride. I love it. I'm wearing an Astroworld shirt right now, which is funny.
Yeah, that's funny.
I used to go there a lot, and I remember going one particular time with my mom and my cousin. My mom was a big lady, right? My cousin is probably like 5 years younger than me. So, you know, 3 or 4 years. So I was probably like, you know, 12, 13. He was a small little petite dude, right? Little cousin.
Yeah.
And we went on Tidal Wave, and that lap bar was like 3 feet away from him. And he just slid down to the chair, to the seat in front of him.
Yeah.
Literally. It was crazy. Yeah.
And no one cared in Astroworld back then.
Nobody cared. They were like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, it's fine.
I loved Astroworld. I really did. It sucks. Oh, yeah.
It's the only theme park that Houston ever had, and we never got anything else.
Well, there was the Hanna-Barbera World at one point. I don't know if you ever went to that.
Is that technically Houston, though?
It was. It was spring, but that's where the water park thing is up there.
I thought that was Woodlands.
No. It was before there. Before Woodlands. Have you played any games lately?
No, I haven't played a single game. No. My life is boring. It's not boring. I actually went on vacation and I came back and then I got sick and then I had
that's
to.
Right. We haven't even talked about that.
Nah, it's okay. No big deal.
You went to New Orleans, right?
I did. I went to
what was the purpose of your
Crescent
visit?
City.
Just for fun?
I was for Catherine's birthday.
Okay. How long were y'all there?
5 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
It was a good time. Yeah, it was great.
Where'd y'all stay at? Do you stay like near walking distance from everything or?
Yeah, we stayed. Funny story. We stayed at Andrew Jackson Hotel, which is one of the older hotels in the quarter. And it used to be a orphanage back in the day. And
creepy.
I picked that place because it was affordable and it was close to everything. And I didn't do any research or anything.
What
besides
do you mean affordable?
That.
How affordable is affordable there?
I think it was like, I don't know, like $150 or $160 a night. It wasn't like overly expensive, but it wasn't super cheap either.
Yeah.
And the hotel wasn't bad either. It was nice, but it was a small. Like you could tell it was made for people to live there. It wasn't made to be a hotel.
Yeah.
So one of the nights, Catherine and I were about to walk out and we're walking out of the lobby and there's a ghost tour walking by. And they go, "Welcome to the Andrew Jackson Hotel, one of the most haunted places in New Orleans." And Catherine just kind of like looks at me slowly, gives me like this dead eye stare, like you picked this on purpose. And I was like, I had no idea.
Any little girls haunt you at night? any
no
from the orphanage?
But the ghost tour continued talking, and it was like, the most active room and one of the most haunted rooms is room 208. And I go, huh, that sounds familiar. I look at my keys. We're staying in room 208.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you get haunted at all?
Super nice.
Did you get haunted at all?
No, nothing.
I would have requested a refund then. I didn't get haunted once in this haunted hotel. What the fuck?
Yeah, no, nothing happened. I slept like a baby after staying up all the night and partying it up and drinking and
eating. So what did y'all do when you were there?
You know,
is that your partying, eating beignets?
Eating beignets, yeah. We had a beignet taste off.
With alcohol.
I am of the impression that Cafe Du Monde makes the best beignets in New Orleans. And
is that not true?
And well, Catherine thinks Cafe Beignet makes better.
Yes.
And so we went to three different places to get official. You know, verdict is still split. I'm Cafe Du Monde. She's Cafe Beignet.
Interesting.
Well, I don't know. We did all like the touristy things there. We went to the World War II Museum. We saw a lot of music. We went to Frenchman Street, hung out on Bourbon Street. We went to the Garden District.
If I'd known you were going, I would have recommended the Aron Sanchez. He has a restaurant there that was fucking amazing. We went last year for only a couple days because we were doing a cruise out of New Orleans. We didn't really get to do a lot, but that restaurant was phenomenal.
What was the name of the restaurant?
The best Mexican food. I'd have to look it up. I can't remember the name of it right now. I'm going to look it up.
I don't really think of Mexican food when I think of New Orleans, so I probably wouldn't have gotten it anyway.
Johnny Sanchez is the name of it. It was so good.
I didn't
apparently
go there.
There's one in Lake Charles now too. One of the hotels there.
Oh, cool. And then what else? We did the riverboat thing. We had dinner on a riverboat on the Mississippi, and it was cool. Nice. It was a good time.
And then we saw
a bunch of
Bayou Adventure.
Well, we saw parades.
Did you? Were you there during Mardi Gras? Or?
I was there during Easter, so they did it up pretty big there. So yeah, it was a good time. I really enjoyed myself, and then I came back, and like first day back, I got a sinus infection. So
I was sick last week too. That's okay. Did you have any boudin balls?
I did have some boudin balls. I had I had red beans and rice. No, I didn't have any gainer. I had jambalaya with no shrimp. I had lots of gumbo. I can't
jambalaya,
eat shrimp.
No shrimp.
Yeah.
Oh.
Chicken. They do chicken and andouille sausage in some places.
Okay.
Excuse me. Yeah, still I'm not. I can't have shrimp. So.
Pop on. Are you allergic to it? Or?
Now I'm gonna cough. He's coughing it up.
There you go.
Excuse me. All right.
Get it all out. Get it all out.
Yes, I'm allergic to shrimp.
What about other shellfish?
All the shellfish.
I knew you were pretty shellfish.
That's right. As I cough on this podcast. sorry.
That's fun. One of the last things I want to mention that I watched is the latest season of Tournament of Champions ended on Sunday, which is the cooking competition show where like 28 chefs come in and one chef leaves.
Guy Fieri.
I don't want to spoil it too much. It is Guy Fieri.
Flavor Town.
Not so much Flavor Town, but other chefs are cooking.
He's the mayor of Flavor Town.
He's the mayor.
Yeah.
The winner, I don't know. It's
you're
a winner that won before. Not upset, but I was like, my choice did not win, so I was upset.
Gotcha.
I wanted Jet Tila to win.
I do have one more thing I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, sure.
It was the new Roadhouse reboot. That was the latest movie I've seen.
I have not seen it. I actually would like to.
Did you know it was directed? Did you know it was directed by Doug Liman?
I did not.
Yeah, I learned that too after I watched the movie, and I go, Doug Liman made this.
Who was in it besides Gyllenhaal, whatever his name is?
Conan McGregor guy.
There you go. That's who I was thinking of.
He's a big MMA fighter.
MMA guy. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Just you watch this movie and like you can see Jake Gyllenhaal is having a great time making this movie and got into killer shape for it. But like, I don't know. I thought it was all boring. All the action scenes sucked. I thought none of the movie plot-wise made sense.
Can I admit something right here and now? Sure. I've never seen the original.
You know, I think you should do yourself a favor and watch the original and then go watch the new one. Yeah, well, I mean, it's not like there's a lot of callbacks, but there's a couple. But like the original Roadhouse is like if the 80s did cocaine and then decided to make a movie. That's exactly where Roadhouse is.
That's the fucking 80s. That's every movie in the 80s.
Yeah, but this one, it's in like the DNA. Like, this is exactly what happens when a whole bunch of executives get together, snort a whole bunch of coke at a bar, and go, dude, but what if?
That'd be fun.
Yeah, so,
in a bar, but watching them back to back is what I meant by fun, not doing cocaine in a bar.
And like in this new one, you can see that they were really trying to do something inventive with the action scenes. But I thought it looked ugly. I thought all the lighting looked ugly.
Oh, wow.
I thought like because they use like CGI punches to make it look like they're making real contact. And
really?
Yeah. It looked real, real shitty. But I don't know. There were some cool moments, or at least I thought there was going to be some cool moments. It started out to look cool, and then it just kind of like gets worse as it progressed. So
you said you have not been playing any video games? Is that correct?
No, I have not.
There's a couple I want to talk about. First off, I actually brought some with me for show and tell.
Show and tell. PS5.
So I was in a GameStop about 3 or 4 weeks ago, right? And they had
that. Does that say Ultrids?
Hold on. They had this, you know, like they have that TV screen. They show trailers and stuff like that. Yeah. They had this trailer up for this game called Ultros. Ultros, right? It was the most magical fucking thing I've ever seen. So listen to the description on the back of the box, right? Ultros is a psychedelic Metroidvania where you wake up stranded on the sarcophagus, a cosmic uterus holding a demonic being. Trapped in the loop of a black hole, you'll have to explore the sarcophagus and meet its inhabitants to understand the past you play. So this game, it's beautiful. The colors, oh my God, so psychedelic and weird. But it's a Metroidvania game that is Groundhog Day, like the movie. You repeat shit, you die, you repeat, you learn more shit. It's so well done. I can't recommend it enough. And it's not overly difficult either, but yeah. Get the deluxe edition over at GameStop. That's not a sponsor.
The reviews for it are pretty high, so
yeah. I want to get back into it. I haven't had a lot of time to play a lot of games. I did start playing Dragon's Dogma 2, which I don't get. When you put it in your system, it doesn't say Dragon's Dogma 2. It just says Dragon's Dogma when it boots up. But like the 2 is like forgotten from the logo every time. Which I don't get that. But it's just as fun and just as difficult as the original Dragon's Dogma that came out like, I don't know, 8-10 years ago, whatever it was. It's a 3D action adventure role playing game in this fantasy world, but you can actually get you get people that follow you and they go on quests with you and all NPCs. It's difficult. Like I'm at a part right now where I got caught out at night and I don't have the requirements to make a camp, so all the shit keeps on coming to kill me. So it's interesting. And I just downloaded, I have it on my computer, but the console version of Planet Zoo, which, if you know me, I love my Planet game, the Planet Coaster, and building games like that. It works really well on the console, actually, the controls. I've done like the first training world, and it's not bad. There's a lot of shit in the game. I was curious how they were going to map it all to a controller, you know? Comparatively to like a computer game.
They did a good job. How did it play?
It's fun. I haven't done any sandbox or any of that kind of stuff. I just did like the first training thing, but it was about an hour-ish. You know, we bought a zoo, basically. Put some tigers in it and fixed some shit and did some other stuff and found some other animals and gave them food. I don't know. Just fun stuff.
Cool.
Pretty metal, honestly. Speaking of pretty metal, why don't we get into George Hates Metal?
Dun, dun, dun.
I have something that has been so addictive to me. There's a band called Whom Gods Destroy, and I'm going to have you do a song off of this album. Let's do In the Name of War, which is actually the first song on the album. The album is so fucking good. I gotta tell you, I'm addicted to it. It's a super group prog metal. It's I guess you when you Google it, it's like I guess it was the original Star Trek episode, but the album is called Insanium. And it's basically, you know, Bumblefoot, the guitar player.
Yeah.
Derek Sherinian used to be in Dream Theater. And there's this great fucking vocalist. His name is Dino Jeselnik. He has such a deep and unique quality to his voice. And there's a lot of keys, but not every song is like super like Dream Theater-ish. There's definitely a lot of that prog metal stuff, but it's such a great album. So have you check it out. I don't think you've ever heard these guys before, have you?
I feel like I've seen the cover, but I didn't click on it.
Okay.
So you said In the Name of War, right?
In the Name of War, yes, sir. We'll check it out. We'll be right back.
Gods Destroy.
That's right. We are back to the show. That was Whom Gods Destroy, the first song off the album Insanium, that is In the Name of War. All right, what did you think?
I think it's all right. Like, it's not great, it's not terrible. The singer's voice takes a little getting used to for my liking. It's not my kind of vocals for music. It's how do I explain it? A little too hair metal-y, his vocal range. And I think the song, while it does get heavy from time to time, I think the guitarist gets a little too noodly with the guitar.
That's Bumblefoot for you. That's prog metal for you.
No, I like prog metal. I think that there was a part in this song where it like got so noodly it was incomprehensible. That's kind of stupid. Like, what? Why are we doing incomprehensible sounds?
All right. But check out the rest of the album. There is some different stuff on it. I almost chose the second song on the album called Over Again. There's also another song on there called Find My Way Back, which is phenomenal. It's ballady, but like power metal ballad type stuff. But
yeah,
Over Again, man, there's elements where it gets almost like sort of rapish in a way, like the cadence. It's a very good song, though. Check out the rest of the album. I'd be interested to hear what you think about the rest of it.
Okay.
Anything on your metal list right now that you've been jamming?
Yes. There is a band called Dune. Have you ever heard of them?
D-U-N-E, like the movie? Or D-V-N-E?
I think it's D-V-N-E, but they still pronounce it. They still pronounce it Dune.
I thought it was Divine.
I was told Dune.
Who told you that?
Something on their thing here. It says it's from the title Dune, but but maybe I'm wrong.
They put a V in it to be difficult.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe it is Divine, which is a stupid title if that's the case. But they came out with a new track. And I think it's pretty good. It's called Abode of the Perfect Soul.
Yep, I've heard it. Yeah. It's good.
It's a good track. I like it quite a bit.
It's a little bit more up your alley than mine, but that's okay.
Yeah, it is okay. And then Night Versus re-released their album, but they re-released it with like 4 or 5 new tracks. Okay. And those 5 new tracks are fucking awesome. I've been listening to it on repeat quite a bit.
Night Versus. Okay.
And then there's this band I liked for a long time. Yep. I thought they were gone, but they've decided to come back and they have a new single. The name of the band is called Eye of the Enemy. Have you heard of them before?
I think maybe.
Yeah, I probably mentioned them on the show before. I liked him. Not Eye of the Tiger. They have this new song called All of It for All of Us, and I don't know what is it about this song, but I can't get enough of listening to it. I think it's pretty great.
That's cool. I'm checking it out a little bit right now. Very cool.
Yeah. And then lastly, I think you've heard of this band. I think we've talked about it. Is this band called In Vain?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've been listening. For sure. I've been listening to some of their backlog stuff.
Their new album is coming out soon, right?
I think that's why I've listened to. I think either you or somebody mentioned them to me.
Currents was 2018. That album's phenomenal.
Yeah,
such a good band.
That's the album I've been listening to.
Yeah.
I've been listening to their 2013 album, Enigma.
Enigma. They're like progressive mellow deaths, you know?
Yeah.
With a little bit of sludge in them, too, I think.
Yeah.
I've been listening to some interesting stuff. The new Ultimas with a V. Another band that uses a V in their fucking name. Which is Dave Vincent and Flo Mornier from Cryptopsy. It's pretty good. I really like some of the interesting vocal styles that Dave Vincent is doing. I just met him like a month ago at this metal swap meet, which is cool. The new Necrophobic is really fucking good. The new Aborted, if you want just fucking 100 mile an hour fucking just death metal in your face, check out Vault of Horrors from Aborted. crazy. I want to talk about this band called Mind's Mirror. I have the, you know, that Spotify new release radar every week, and I was listening to this band. I'm like, oh, this is very prog thrash ish like combination. I'm like, oh, that vocalist sounds just like Alan Tecchio, who was a vocalist of Watchtower and Hades and a bunch of different stuff. And lo and behold, it is. So the new project was one of my favorite vocalists. His name is Alan Tecchio, T-E-C-C-H-I-O. The album is Forever is not nearly long enough for the band called Mind's Mirrors. Pluralized for both of them. Good stuff right
mirrors.
There. Yeah. The new Suicidal Angels album, Thrash, fucking great. Morbid Saint, who I got to see at Hell's Heroes, was really good. There was another band I saw at Hell's Heroes that I can't remember. One of the bands that I missed was Ancient Wisdom, with another band with two fucking V's in their name. So instead of a W, it's two V's. What's up with all these V bands tonight? I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah, there's some good stuff. The new Homford, I know we've talked about that on the show before, is officially out. So
is it Homford and Sons?
Homford and Sons. There's a bunch of them on the album. Check that out. It's really good, progressive dark metal. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff coming out right now. It's been a good year so far.
It's been all right.
I think we're going to go ahead and wrap. What's up?
It's been all right.
It's been all right. Whatever.
It's been all right. Whatever.
I want to take a few moments, of course, before we start to wrap up the show. We have to do one last thing, and that's talk about what's tickling our geeks.
Let's tickle our geeks this week.
What's tickling your geek?
What is getting me excited? Well, I guess I'll talk about a personal thing that's gotten me excited. Last weekend I shot a music video for a local band, and
did the band have a V in their name?
No, they didn't.
Oh, damn.
Well,
it.
Wait, they do have a V in their name, actually. Yeah, they do. They totally do have a V in their name, now that I think about
it.
Who
is it?
This local band called Rediver.
Okay.
Rediver.
But they use the V in the proper way, not as a U.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, yeah. They don't use it as a U. No, no, no.
Or
it's,
W.
It's just the letter V is in the name.
How typical.
How typical. No, they're a really awesome band. They're from Galveston. And I got linked up to through them through a friend, and I really like their music, and I shot a music video for them last weekend.
Cool.
And hopefully it goes well. And like a dark synth wave rock band.
Okay, that sounds fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When's the video going to come out?
That's going to be up to after I edit it, because I just shot it on Saturday Sunday morning.
Come on, he's not done yet. What's the matter with you?
What's up with that? And so I'll edit it, they'll get approvals, and then they'll I guess they want to coincide it with their album release, because their album's coming out soon. Okay. So it's all kind of like coalesced together.
Where'd y'all shoot it at?
We shot it in town in Houston at art gallery.
Okay. Narrative in it? Any narrative stuff you shot? Or no?
There's some narrative. Footage? No. There's some narrative stuff in there. It's not all just band footage. It's I will leave it to that. It was a fun and grueling shoot. It was just me, Catherine, and Barry. And we were all pulling triple duty on the shoot, and it was a long night, and it was fun. I had a good time, and that's what's tickling my geek this week.
You know somebody who actually went to film school too that could have been available possibly to help.
Well,
I'm not
going to
call
your
names out, but
you are also too busy. So
I am. Well, that is true. I know I am.
Yeah, you are too busy to
I'm
do that.
I'm too busy to even like sleep, but I'm like volunteering myself to do shit.
On the next all time right. when I know Comic Palooza is out of the way, I will definitely contact you.
What I want to talk about is something that comes out tomorrow. I think it's coming out a day early, and that's the Fallout TV series.
Oh.
I'm excited for this show. This show looks really good.
Apparently, Amazon's excited for this show because it's coming out a day early.
They premature show ejaculation or something.
Yeah, they're just shooting their load off a little early on this one.
it looks fun. I'm not the biggest Fallout gameplay fan, but I love like the universe and everything and that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I know Dave is gonna fucking love it. It's gonna be great. Hopefully,
fucking great.
We will on the next episode we will let you know what we thought about it.
We'll let you know how bad it was.
Or good. Or in the middle.
I'll let you know how bad it is, everybody. Don't worry about it.
Maybe it's middling. We don't know yet. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to this new episode of the Metal Geeks Podcast. Of course, you can check us out on the interwebs at metalgeeks.net. Any place where you download your podcast, like any podcatcher app or Spotify or Apple Music or all those places, we're all there. Of course, our social media is at Metal Geeks and our sister show at MSRcast. And I want to plug our friend's show, Harsh Vocals, which is your co-host Justin and our good friend Christian, who have put a show together, and it's a lot of fun talking about metal. Which is it's more metal than George. That's their new tagline.
Wow.
Yeah.
That doesn't take a lot to be more metal than me.
No, it doesn't. I think that's it. What about Metal Geek Society on Facebook? If you're there on Facebook, come check out the Metal Geek Society. We have a lot of fun there. What about you?
You can find me at all the social medias at George Tripsis. And then we'll also be at Comic Palooza, so be sure to go get tickets. See us there.
I think
Cena is going to be on our show, so you should definitely show up.
We are doing our panel on Sunday, I believe, which is the same day that John Cena will be there. Not putting two and two together, but
he's not putting two and two together. So you put your hands in front of your face and go.
Right,
like
he might
there.
Have to pile drive you though. If I do see him, I will have him pile drive you, and right into like the wrestling floor.
Sure, if that's what it takes for him to get on the show, I'll take that.
All right. Well, thanks again, everybody. Have a good week, and we will see you next time. One last thing we have to say:
keep it.
Keep it metal.
Yeah, and keep it John Cena.
I was going to say keep it geeky with a V.
Oh, yeah, Gaviki.
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 That's our episode title.
Keep it Gaviki. It's like we misspelled keeping it Greek or something.
I know, right? All right, guys, have a good one. We'll see you next time. Later.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.